It's a great joy to be with you this morning, friends. As we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, I want to just say, as we're opening there, the aim of this message this morning is to be a foundation of the whole message that I'm preaching next week. The aim, this is a foundation for us to understand what I'll be saying next week. We need to understand what I'll be saying this week. Turn then to Matthew chapter 5 as we read from verse 1 to verse 9. But our text, our verse will be verse 9 for this week and next week. Verse 9. Matthew chapter 5. It reads as follows. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write it, writing his truth upon our hearts. Let's bow down and we pray. We thank you, Lord, this morning. We pray that you may take us through the adventure of seeing again the majesty of Jesus Christ, your Son. Help us spend the time doing nothing greater than this, nothing than to behold him who is God. Open our eyes this morning, O Lord, that we may gaze upon the beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thus be changed into his image from one level of glory to the next. Reveal your Son this morning in the preaching of your word. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we may see him in his beauty and his majesty. Help us to love him. Help us to worship him this morning, worshiping him deeper and truer than ever before. May we have peace in our hearts, O God, as we're going to speak about peace this morning. Lavish upon us the peace of God upon our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message I'm bringing to you this morning is very simple and straightforward. A very simple and straightforward message, and yet again, a very relevant message as it deals with our relationship with God and relationship with one another. And of course, like I've said, this is not entirely the aim of the text. The text is not aiming to show us a relationship between God and us, or a relationship with one another. But you will see as we go on that it is very important for us this morning to go through this text in this way that I am bringing before you, so that next week we understand who are the peacemakers, how are they making peace, and why are they making peace. We need to go through this morning. Jesus says through the word of God this morning, blessed are the peacemakers. But I want to highlight before you that before you can be a peacemaker, you need to have peace within your heart. You need your heart to be purified by the waters of the gospel. You need your heart to be purified by the Spirit of God. When you read James chapter 3 verse 17, if you can open there, James chapter 3 verse 17, this is what the word of God says. James says, But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. The wisdom from above is first pure and then is peaceable. This tells us then, friends, that you cannot have peace in any way unless your heart is dealt with. So this tells us that the beatitude comes, as we have said before, in a divine order that the Lord Jesus Christ has set before us. Our message follows last week's message. Last week's message, blessed are the pure in heart. Now James says, purity comes from above and then it follows by peace. So you cannot have peace unless your heart is dealt with. You cannot have peace unless you live in harmony with God. And that was not the case with the Jews and the Gentiles at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may not be a case with you also this morning. You may know nothing about the peace of God or nothing about peace at all. So before we dive into this, as I've said next week, before we dive into this verse, it is very important to know something about peace. And I want us to look at three Christological views of peace. What am I saying? Three ways in which Jesus understands, in which Jesus knows what peace is. Three ways. And firstly, is peace with God. Peace with God. We all know that peace is one of the most important aspects of our lives. People are fighting throughout the whole world. Nation against nation, fighting for peace. What a paradox. People fighting in an unpeaceful way to obtain peace. And it is possible in this world to fight for peace and obtain peace, but still have no peace within the soul. And that is exactly what we see as we look out there. I know of a king, a very powerful man, a famous man, a believer, who gathered his army and fought for worldly peace. One day, while the battle continued, he decided to stay home. He did not go to the battle with the army as the custom of the day, whereby the king will go and lead the army. So the king decided not to go, probably to rest. I don't know why. Probably to pray for the army. While at home and walking outside his palace, walking on the roof of his palace, he saw a very beautiful, please take note, married woman taking a bath. Then he sent for this woman to come to his palace, and he got this woman pregnant. The king lost his peace when he heard that the woman became pregnant. He lost his peace when he realized that he cannot frame the husband so that he can hide his sin. He lost peace within him. He lost peace with the husband as well. The husband was a very prominent, a very good, close friend, a person who was actually in the army fighting for the king. He lost peace with that man. And what happened when he lost peace with the man? He killed the husband for his wife. And when he killed the husband for the wife, he took the wife and married that lady. Hoping, thinking that once he does that, he will be free. He will have peace in his heart. Only to find out that he lost his peace with God. We hear him crying in Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4. Saying, "For when I kept silence, when I kept these things within me, when I kept my sin and never confessed it, when I kept going on in hypocrisy, when I kept silence, my bone wasted away through groaning all day long. For day and night your hand, day and night the hand of God was upon me, heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." We know that man. What a devastating testimony from a heart at war with God. And friends, I can tell you, this king fought the battle and he won the battle for worldly peace. But he did not have peace in his heart. You can win worldly battles. You can continue this life and have a good job, have a good life while continuing in your sin. The king won the battle. He restored peace in Jerusalem, but he could not restore peace within his heart. You can have everything, a big car, a big house, but peace within the heart was not there. He did not have peace with God. There was no joy in his life. Simply because without peace, there cannot be joy. You cannot have joy unless you have peace. The Jews in the days of Jesus, they thought they had peace with God because of their religious commitment. But via surprise, Jesus says to them, they are the enemies of God, calling them to repentance, saying to them, your problem is not oppression from the Roman government as you claim. Your problem is the problem of their hearts. As you sit here saying, your problem is not because you are demon possessed. That's not the problem. Your problem is not demon possession. Your problem is the problem of the hearts. The problem is not because we have generational curses, as people put it these days. No, that's not the problem. Your problem is the problem of the heart. You need a purified heart so that you may have peace within the soul. You need a purified heart so that you may be a peaceable person. That is the problem. You don't have peace with God. How can you have all the things going on in your life and then forget to have peace with God? Remember these people, these Jews, they had everything going right in their lives, except the fact that they were oppressed by the Romans. But they could worship God anytime they want. Freedom of religion, like here in our country, South Africa. Here we're gathering on Sunday. Nobody's bombing us. Nothing is happening. You can shout on the street, say, Jesus, no one's going to shoot you. But they still did not have peace with God. Many of our people today, they can pray, they can bow their knee to God, but they don't have peace with God. They don't have a relationship. This peace with God speaks of a relationship with God. They are not filled with joy. They are not filled with goodness. Thinking that you have peace with God when you don't have. Ignoring the fact that God does not delight in sacrifice, but in a contrite heart, in a peaceable soul. The Jews in the times of Jesus, they danced for God. In times of ceremonies and feasts, they could come together dancing before the Lord. But God did not like their dancing. Listen to what God says in Amos 5, verse 21 to 26. You can write it down. I hate, I despise your feast. I take no delight in your solemn assembly. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offering of your fattest animal, I will not look upon. Listen to this one. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melodies of your harps, I will not listen. Simply because you do not have peace with me. You have not sorted matters between me and you. How can you dance for me? Isn't the same picture that we see today? The only thing that matters is people dancing for the Lord. Regardless of the fact that we don't have peace with God. Regardless of the fact that our relationship with God is still broken. We are still the enemies of God. The children of Adam who are alienated from God. But it is easy to come join in the team and just move around with the crowd. Dance around and feel happy about it. Today is actually cold. It's very nice to dance around. So that we can be warm as if that's why we came to church. Friends, what about peace with God? They fasted, but God did not listen. God did not like it. You read in the book of Isaiah 58, I don't like this fasting. They added more laws to the law of God, hoping that if they add more and more laws, they will please God, they will be right before God, they will have peace with God. God did not like it, and consequently, they remain without peace with God. So friends, we should never forget that bringing a sacrifice does not mean we are in peace or at peace with God. That should be a lesson for us. There is nothing that man can do to win favor with God. There is nothing that man can do to be at peace with God outside the saving power, outside Jesus Christ. There cannot be peace with God. Maybe you are asking, why should men have peace with God? Very simple. Because peace speaks of reconciliation. Peace speaks of reconciling two parties at war. Really? Yes, two parties at enmity with one another. But why? Yes, we are at enmity with God. Because if you think very carefully, remember in the Garden of Eden, war was declared between God and man because man sinned before God, and consequently man was chased out of the garden of God. Sin separated God and man. Peace speaks of reconciliation. If I have peace with God, it means I am reconciled with God. If I don't have peace with God, it means I am not reconciled with God. Man was chased out of the garden. And from that day on, sin reigned in the lives of people. The firstborn child killed the secondborn child. Nobody taught him how to kill. He didn't even know what happens when people die. Where will this brother go? He didn't even think about it. Who taught him to be angry? Who taught him to think of these sinful things against his brother? Nobody. It is only because there was separation. There was no peace between man and God. But by the grace of God, it is also said, it is also declared in the very same chapter of Genesis chapter 3, that the war was to come to an end, that enmity between man and God was to come to an end through a promised seed, a seed of a woman. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one who initiated this peace now. Jesus is the seed of the woman who will bring peace between God and man by making peace by the blood of his cross. You can read that from Colossians 1 verse 20. He makes peace by the blood of his cross. And that perfect peace was established when Jesus began to preach the good news, the gospel of peace. As he walked through Galilee and all the cities, as we have learned that in chapter 4, Jesus began to cultivate and establish the peace between man and God. Without the preaching of the gospel, there cannot be peace between man and God. Jesus began initiate this peace, to bring this peace between God and man, and therefore continued in the same ministry of peacemaking in the world. And finally, he went up to the cross of Calvary in order to draw men and women, children and anyone who will believe in him, drawing them to him, to reconcile them with God. By the blood of Christ, men needed to be reconciled to God, saying, when you lift me up, I will draw all men unto me. Went up the cross of Calvary to draw men to him, that they may have peace with God, to reveal the love of God, that while we were still sinners, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were enemies, we were reconciled with God. Those are not my words. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 10. While we're still enemies, we're reconciled to God. Make peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So in other words, man can be at peace with God only through Jesus Christ. What does this tell us? It tells us that Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. For us to understand what it means when the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the sons of God, we need to know that Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. In other words, we need to be following under the footstep of you, following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ for us to make peace. But Jesus needed to initiate, to make for us peace with God before we can be peacemakers. Peace with God. What a great privilege it is for a man to be at peace with God. He came down from heaven. He laid down his life, laying down his life, making his life a ransom for many. He's the one in which the prophet spoke in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. The prophet Isaiah spoke, he says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, listen to this one, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David, over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Friends, peace with God is not optional. Peace with God, I'm going to repeat myself, is not optional. Can you tell me? How can we be so, maybe it's arrogance or ignorant, I don't know. How can men be so arrogant or ignorant to want to live without peace with the very person who holds your life, the one who decides when you live and when you die? How can we have not peace with the giver of life, the one who has the right to throw into hell? But Jesus came so that we may have peace with the very one. Friends, you need to have peace with God. The Bible says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him, upon who? Upon Jesus, the iniquities of us all. In the same chapter it says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, he was crushed, he was bruised, so that we may have peace with God. The iniquities of us all was upon him. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are no longer enemies of God. Are you at peace with God? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I will leave that to you to answer. But to those who have no peace with God, very short message for you. Hell awaits you beyond the grave. Whether you believe in hell or not, whether you think dying and going to a grave is hell, that heresy, whether you like it or not, if you have not come to Jesus, you have no peace with God, hell awaits beyond the grave. The question again, are you willing to place your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are you willing to receive this free gift of eternal life that you may have peace with God? Are you willing to confess to him that you are a sinner? We have failed him on numerous occasions, not once, not twice, but every day you're failing him. Are you willing to confess that to Jesus? But not only are we to have peace with God. Secondly, we need to have peace with one another. Not only peace with God, peace with one another. And as it is with the peace with God, peace with one another is impossible unless the working power of the Spirit of God works in our lives. The reason why people are not at peace with one another, the powerful working of the Spirit is not working in their lives. It takes the Spirit of God to reconcile men, that men and women may be at peace with one another. Peace with one another. Being at peace with one another is a reflection of God's giving of peace unto us. If I have received peace from God, I'm able to have peace with someone else. That's what I'm trying to say to you. So it is a reflection of God, of the God-given peace we have firstly received from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying it is impossible then for you to have peace with someone else unless you have received yourself peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with someone else, peace with one another, is the Christian powerful witness of genuine repentance. It shows that you are truly a Christian when you have peace with other people. I'm saying, I don't know of a Christian who wants to continue in his Christianity without peace with someone else, claiming to have peace with God. I don't know where we come from in that. It is a reflection of what has happened within my own soul. It is the ability of the Christian to love others truly. Doesn't the Bible says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters, for the brethren to dwell together in harmony? It is like the precious oil on the head running down the beard, yes, the beard of Aaron, down to his coat and his robes. That's how God looks at it when his people are together in harmony. These are my children. Friends, peace with one another comes from God. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Read Galatians chapter 5. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is the whole thing. You don't go there in Galatians chapter 5 and choose kindness and choose self-control or choose faithfulness. This is not a pick and choose. It's one fruit that needs to manifest in all these different aspects of life. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is something that needs to pop out from you after you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. During the time of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth, there was no peace between the Jew and the Gentile. There was no peace between the Jew and the Roman. Like I've said, there was no peace between the Jew and the Samaritan. They will not even pray for one another. No affiliation. No wishing each other peace. You wouldn't find a Jew saying to any other nation, shalom. They will not say shalom to a Roman. They will not say shalom to a Samaritan. I'm wondering, why are you not greeting that person in your office? Why are you not greeting that young lady next to you in a taxi? Why are you not saying peace? Why are you not displaying the peace of God that you have received if you are already a children of God? Is it not there where we start to see that you have peace with God when you try to have peace with people? They will not say shalom. They will not say peace to other people. Because there were unresolved religious and political conflicts. Wherever there is unresolved conflicts, there is no peace. Which is why the Jews then, in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were waiting for a Messiah to come, so that he may take and rule over them, to liberate them from that heavy hand of the Romans, at the same time to overturn this Roman government. But we know, friends, it would have not resolved the matter at hand. Even if Jesus became a government of the time, it will not have brought peace with one another. It takes more than a government to bring peace. To resolve a spirit of disunity, it takes more than a government. To resolve the spirit of hatred against one another, it takes more than a government. So without unity, there is no peace, my friends. Without peace, there is no demonstration of that God's love shared among us. God's love must be shared among the people of God. And without peace, we cannot share that love, the love of God that we claim we have as a people of God. That is why peace with one another is synonymous. It is the same thing as loving one another. To have nothing against one another. To have no grudges against one another. You can't believe. You can't believe how people are still bitter about some stuff. Unnecessary things in life, and then continue to hate each other for those things. Friends, you cannot live with unsettled matters in your life. You cannot live with unsettled matters and issues and prolonged unsettled matters in your life. It is impossible, because that thing will weigh heavy upon your soul and cause you to sin against God. Tell me I'm wrong. When you have a grudge in your heart with someone else, when you have not forgiven someone, that thing weighs heavy upon you and you begin to sin against God. It is important to have peace with one another. There are many people out there who are not, who are not at peace with one another. Simply because they cannot forgive. Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive, for you also have been forgiven. Outside the church, learn to forgive. Inside the church, people have no peace. They live in these unhealthy and sinful tendencies of conflicts and continuous conflicts and hatred towards one another. And such evil, you can see it manifests in a form of gossip. When there's no peace, people start to gossip. Then they undermine each other, they disrespect each other, they despise one another. And then they mistreat others and so on. Just because there is no peace between the people. And of course, when I say peace with one another, I don't mean that peace then means absence of conflicts, absence of disagreements. No. Peace does not mean absence of conflicts. Conflicts will be there because we are a people raised from different areas, raised from different homes, reading different books. We should have just read one, we'll be fine. We are people of different needs. Conflicts will be there. When I speak about peace with one another, I'm not saying we will not have conflicts. Rather, peace is being in right relationship. In the midst of those conflicts and disagreements, are we in a right relationship? It is a matter of right relationship. And if we have a right relationship with one another, then we are able to calmly and sweetly talk those disagreements. I'm right. I am right. When people are at peace with one another, they can speak their disagreements with peace. So don't confuse the absence of conflict and the absence and the presence of silence with peace. Absence of conflict as well does not mean there is peace. If me and Baba Raz are no longer talking to each other, we are silent, doesn't mean we are having peace with one another. Maybe there's something going on behind the scene, but we just don't want to resolve it. So peace is not silence. Peace is not absence of conflicts. Don't confuse the two. Because I know of relationships and marriages where people don't even talk to each other. One wordy song says, "We don't even talk no more." People don't talk to one another. Marriages, there is silence. But that is not peace. That is not the peace of God. That is not the peace that the Bible is teaching us. When partners are silent with one another. Friends, peace produces fellowship. Peace produces commune. If you don't have that, you don't have peace. No fellowship, no commune. You can be as silent as you want to be, 24 hours a day, 365. You don't have peace. And God says in His Word, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Make it your effort to be at peace with everyone. So it is a responsibility that we must have. So the way you treat others has effect on your future with God. It does have effect with your future with God. It may not be a decider of your destination, but it surely does show us a foreshadow of your future. You need to look there. Maybe I'm not going where I think I'm going. Maybe hell is waiting for me. It's a foreshadow. So be careful how you handle other people. Be careful how you treat other human beings. It reflects your understanding of the gospel. It reflects your understanding of the saving power and the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ upon you. Isn't it God who says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25, saying these words, so that He shows us how important peace with one another is. He says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Think about it. He sacrificed everything that he had in heaven, and he came down to this filthy earth for the sake of his church. He lived in a despised place for the sake of his church. He was hated for the sake of the church. He was finally killed for the sake of the church. He was forsaken by God himself on the cross for the sake of the church, crying, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" For the sake of this church. Saying in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If you are willing, O God, take away this cup from me. This wrath is heavy upon me, but not my will, your will, O God." Why? For the sake of you and me. He sacrificed everything. When he says, "Love your wife as Christ loved the church," you need to think, man. Sunday school, you are not left alone. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Jesus honored his father and mother. The God of heaven allowed himself to be raised by a young lady, a woman he created. The very woman he created, he submitted himself under that rule, under that house, listening to the mother, saying they are out of wine. Even though he says, "Woman, what is that to do with me?" Then he continues, he stands up and he made the wine in that wedding in Cana. Jesus, the Son of God, submitted and honored his parents. I hope Ntokozo Bembe, you are listening to me, not playing with the cell phone. Thank you, young man. Honor your mother and father. This is right before God. Confessing our sins, my friends. Well, in John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you." Church, loving one another is what shows our unity, our peace with one another. Loving one another, church, brings peace among all the different kinds and sort of people in the house of God, and also those outside the church. Listen to what God says to his people. He just rescued out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 22, verse 21. He says, "Do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt." How dare you call others people foreigners? You are also a foreigner in this world. You brought nothing in this world. You get out of this world with nothing. So we are called to live in peace with one another. And friends, I know that pursuing peace with men is not about agreeing, as I've said. There are other people that you will not be able to agree with them. They are hard in heart. But God has put it upon us that we may pursue to be at peace with every man, forgiving one another's faults and weakness when you don't have peace with God. You cannot forgive. That is why you cannot have peace with your fellow brother and sister in the Lord. And if you don't forgive, you don't have peace with men, it is a proof that you don't have an idea of the forgiving power of Jesus Christ. You actually despise the cross. You look at the cross and say, "That is foolishness. Why did he come to forgive us? We don't need forgiveness." That is what you're saying. If you don't forgive someone else, if you don't want to have peace with someone, you despise the cross, the work of Christ. You don't understand that Jesus was slain to make peace between you and God for the forgiveness of sin. So next time, when you fail to forgive someone, think of your forgiveness. The forgiveness that brought you peace. The blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on that cross for you. What happens when men don't have peace with one another? Hatred, murder, gossip, disunity, pride, racism, xenophobic attacks, tribalism, last of all, hell. That's what happens when people don't have peace with one another. But Jesus says in his word, Ephesians 4, verse 2 to 3, "With all humility, with all gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, confessing our sins and forgiving one another. That brings peace with one another. Having the forgiveness of Jesus, passing it through to others, forgiving one another. Not only must we have peace with God, we must have peace with one another, but thirdly, we must have the peace of God. What is the difference between peace with God and the peace of God? Peace with God is relationship. It based on forgiveness. It based on me coming to God through Jesus Christ. Peace of God, it speaks about now God indwelling me. Now I'm a child of God. I have the peace of God. I'll give you examples so that you understand what I'm talking about. You must not only have peace with God, you must also have peace of God. There are many people who have peace with God, they don't have peace of God. In other words, you can see it in terms of struggle, in terms of suffering, in terms of pain, in terms of dying. When they are dying and lying there in the bed, you'll see there that they don't have peace of God. When they start to complain, not seeing the big picture that God is taking them to the right place. But those who have the peace of God, it manifests. It's an inner calm which dominates the heart. It's the presence of God within the soul. You see it when people are in trouble, when people are in turmoil, when people are in sickness and in poverty. They are content with what they have. They have the peace of God. In sickness, in a dying bed, when you squeeze that hand and say, come, be with us. Don't leave us, leave me. I want to be with my Lord. I have the peace of God. I know whom I have believed. I'll give you a few examples shortly. This is the peace which the Apostle Paul says it surpasses all understanding. People don't understand. It surpasses all understanding. It guards the heart and the mind. Peace of God is a seed that is within the soul. Based on the fact that now I have a relationship with God and a relationship with others, I have the peace of God. It reminds me of a man with the name of Horatio Spafford. You may not know this man, Horatio Spafford. But you know the song that he wrote. The song that Mr. Spafford wrote is the well-known hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. We all know that song, It Is Well With My Soul. Mr. Spafford was a very successful lawyer. But during his time, when he made so much money, he lost everything that he owned in a great Chicago fire of the 1871. There was a big fire that consumed everything. He lost property, and because of that fire, the country underwent through an economical downfall. Everything was lost in the banks. Investment ceased. Everything was lost. Interest was lost in the banks. He became a very poor man. But that's not the reason he wrote the song. While he was struggling with these financial problems, while he was trying to make means to live in his life, 2 years later, something bad happened. Mr. Spafford's wife and 4 daughters were on a ship crossing the Atlantic Ocean. Their ship was struck by an iron sailing vessel. 226 people died. They lost their lives, including 4 of Mr. Spafford's daughters. 4 of his daughters died. His surviving wife sent him a telegram. Those who grew up in my days, they know what a telegram is. Not a WhatsApp, a telegram. So he sent him a telegram. This telegram had only 2 words, my friends. 2 words. Saved. Alone. 2 words. Imagine the sorrows that overcame this man, that overwhelmed this man's heart. Imagine the pain. Imagine the despair. Imagine the tears that fell from his eyes. Imagine the anguish and the agony. Thinking about his 4 daughters, I will cry tears for 1 daughter. Imagine that sorrow. But Mr. Spafford took a ship and he traveled to meet his wife. And when he passed the place where his daughters had died, he wrote the hymn. As he saw that place, as that place reminded him the sorrows and the pain that he went through, as the devil reminded him that he's nothing in the world, he has lost everything, money and family, he started to write the song. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows rolls, whatever my Lord, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. In other words, I have the peace of God within my heart. Regardless of what's happening, I have the peace of God leading me to calmness in the midst of storm. Regardless of the tears pouring down my face, the tears that you see says nothing about me. I have the peace of God. He wrote the song in tears. But that words, the words of the song doesn't say he was on tears. You would think that he was having a good fun writing this song. It is well with my soul. That is the peace of God. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your mind and will guard your heart. Friends, Church of God, the message is very clear. Anxiety will rob you of your peace. The things of this world, if you focus too much onto them, will rob you of your peace. So, do not allow yourself to have sleepless nights about the things of this world, things we have not brought to God. That's the problem with the church. We worry too much about things we didn't bring to God. When you ask the person, you're so worried, did you pray about it? No. You will worry about something you didn't bring to God because you're trying to carry it yourself. But another problem, you have people worrying about things they've already brought to God. What is the problem you already brought to God? Why are you helping God to solve it? I know sometimes it's very heavy in the heart. But once you bring it to God, let it be. There's another song that says, Tata izinhlungu zakho uzishiye kuJesu. Tata izinhlungu uzishiye lapho. Ngesikhoza bathi apho. In other words, take your sorrows, your anxiety, your agony, your pain. Leave it there with Jesus. Don't bring it back. Once you pray, get out happy man. That is the peace of God. Remember, God sustained the Israelites in the wilderness. They would travel to a place they had never been before. They were consumed with worries throughout the way, and they had no peace within their hearts. But here's the problem. God was with them all the way. They knew God was with them in the pillar of cloud, in the pillar of fire, but they still were anxious. That is the problem, friends. Letting the wilderness steal your peace. Don't let your wilderness steal your peace. Have the peace of God. Be encouraged. God loves you. Know Him whom you have believed, for He is faithful. He began the good work in you, and He shall complete it at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. And again, here is another example of peace with God. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He was imprisoned in Rome under house arrest. The Jews wanted to kill him. The Jews wanted him dead. Yet under such undeniable reality that he will die, he had the peace of God. Did you listen to his words writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12? I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what he has been entrusted unto me. I know whom I have believed. In verse 6 and 7 of chapter 4, he says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my departure is near. I know I'm about to die. The time of my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now my prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness, which my Lord, the just judge, will give unto me on the day of his return. When he returns, he will give me a crown. So, in other words, while the axe was hanging upon his neck, as it were, this man had peace of God within his heart. Do you have the peace of God within your heart? Do you have the assurance of your future? Are you calm within your soul, or the troubles of this world is pulling you from post to post like a royal rumbling wrestling match? Are you allowing the things of this world to toss you up and down? But you have a God who is in heaven, who is faithful and just, who shall complete what he has started in your life. Do you have the peace of God? Friends, you need the peace of God within your heart. to take away your anxiety and replace it with joy. And that is impossible outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stop here today. This is where I'm going to stop today. Next week we shall look at peacemaking. Who are the peacemaker? Why are they making peace? How? But before I close, my friend, I'm going to ask, have you made peace with your neighbor? That lady, that man, have you made peace with your enemies? Have you made peace with your friends who are gossiping against you? Have you made peace with the family? What about the conflict in your own home? Have you made peace above all with God? Are you reconciled by the precious blood of Jesus unto God? Do you have the saving power of Jesus? Or else are you still a stranger with Him? Regardless of the many times you have come to church, you still remain a stranger. Friends, do you have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding? Can you say, though Satan should feed upon me, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance fill my heart that Jesus has seen my helplessness and He has shed His precious blood for me. Can you say that? I hope that is you, my friend. Jesus has seen my helpless state and He has shed His blood for me. I have peace with God. I have peace with men. And I have peace of God within my heart. I hope this makes sense to us. And really, if you are struggling with peace, either with peace with God, peace with men, peace of God, please open your heart as I pray this morning. And I advise that you may speak to me afterwards, if you are willing. May the good Lord bless us as we bow in prayer. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reconciling us to your Son. Thank you for bringing us to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the knowledge of the King of glory, the King of all ages. Thank you for giving us peace with God and peace with men and the peace of God within our souls. Thank you for the peace which surpasses all understanding. Lord God, I pray for anyone this morning, anyone who might be in this place who is not reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who does not have this peace within his or her soul, those who are alienated from you, those who are hostile in mind and heart. I pray that they may see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may experience conviction by the power of the gospel, that they open their hearts to the preached word of God, to be reconciled to you. I pray for those of us who are Christians, that we might know the peace of God and be anxious about nothing in this life. Lord, give us more grace as we contemplate on your preached word this morning. Show us Christ through the preaching of your word. Lead us through the week by the power of your word and the Spirit, that we may have peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name, may the church of God say Amen.
Amen.
Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and honor and authority before all times and now and forever. May the church of God say Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I hope to see you again next week. God bless you.